And welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan in studio today with my bud, David Niles.
Yo!
And this is the fourth episode of the Catholic Man Show, and we have a heck of a show for you today.
It's going to be awesome.
Yes, we have a lot to cover.
Yeah, so we should like just get straight to it because we're giving stuff away.
Yes.
This is definitely the most action-packed man show we've ever had.
Absolutely, without a doubt. So, Dave, without further ado, we need the warning.
Yes, this is for public safety purposes. There are some individuals who do not well tolerate high levels of manliness. If you are one of these individuals, please be warned. This show will be harmful to your health. Consult your doctor before listening.
You cannot sue us now.
No.
You've been warned.
I mean, it's just, I just think that people need to know.
Yep. So this is the Catholic Man Show on St. Michael Catholic Radio.
Yeah.
And I'm Adam Minahan.
I'm David Niles.
And we are...
We're men.
We are men. And this is a new show.
So it's our show.
It's our show. Dave, tell us a little bit about the show for the people who are just now tuning in. This is the first show that they've ever listened to.
Well, this show is for men.
Mm-hmm.
But women can listen too. That's all right.
We've actually had some feedback from women listening.
That's true.
And we appreciate that.
But we have a format here on the Man Show because we're men. We like rules and we like structure. Okay, we don't like this willy-nilly business that some people do. Every episode, we are going to do three things. We're going to we're going to do four if you want to just count.
The warning.
A, be manly.
Well, yeah.
I mean, that goes without saying.
Absolutely.
But we're also going to open a beverage, a manly beverage that we're going to enjoy,
mm-hmm.
a high-quality manly beverage. We are going to introduce a man item.
Yes.
Which we have an update on.
Yes.
And then we also continue a theme of the episode through a discussion.
Mm-hmm. A manly.
Relating to men.
Yeah, a manly discussion. And, you know, we got to give it up to our listeners because we called them out the last episode, Dave.
Big time.
Actually, the last two episodes, we kind of called them out because we needed a new name for
the man item. Yeah.
And you guys didn't disappoint.
No. In fact, I'm psyched.
Yeah.
When we were looking through the suggestions, I was like, that's perfect. What a good name. In fact, there was a kind of a theme. There were several suggestions that were very similar, so it really made the decision easy
yep.
about what to change it to.
So this episode, there's a couple things that we're going to do. We're going to, like you said, do the man drink. And then we also had a local company who decided to donate.
They gave us free stuff.
And in turn, we're going to give it to our listeners.
We're giving it to you.
So there's a couple of guys who didn't even know they were in the running to win.
Yeah, but you already won.
You're
a winner.
So we're going to do that.
You got a winner.
That's right. And but without further ado, let's go ahead and get this man beverage going.
Okay, so I went to Whiskey Business downtown.
This is the first time, let me interrupt here. This is the first time I allowed Dave to pick the man beverage. And of course he comes back with one of the toughest names to pronounce.
It's pronounced Bunahaben.
Bunahaben.
But let me tell you, it's not spelled that way.
No.
Okay, it's with like B's and H's and...
It's... Bunahaben.
It looks like it should be Bunahabahane,
mm-hmm.
but we looked it up. You know, you can like YouTube how to pronounce things.
And we definitely had to this.
We've done it a couple times.
Yeah.
And this is Bunahaben. And this is not the regular Bunahaben, but this is another difficult word. It's a Gaelic word, so it's spelled weird, but it's Tok Chak, which looks like it should be Toy Teach. But that's Gaelic for smoky.
This makes great radio.
Yeah, so this one is a heavily peated whiskey. It's very smoky. Really, peated whiskeys aren't my favorite, but this one's very smooth. And
mm-hmm. Let's open it up.
The guy at Whiskey Business told me this is a lot of people's favorite whiskey. So.
And Whiskey Business has offered to give us,
they gave us
a discount
for
the Catholic Man Show. So we're grateful for that. So... As we pour this, I'll read a little bit of the tasting notes because every time we read tasting notes.
Enjoy that.
On the nose, it's a lovely gentle peat, hints of spice, warmth, and complexity, some fruit and smoke.
Yeah.
And then the palate is spiced heat, opens with sweet fruit, dates, sweet smoke, and cracked pepper. So, without further ado, we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers to Jesus. How come people don't cheers to Jesus more often?
I think that's something we got to start bringing back.
Like, what a... Top that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes people sit around like, what should we drink to?
Yeah.
To Jesus, of course.
Absolutely. And for those who... This may be the first time listening to the show. So let's break down why we're actually... Because yeah. there's some okay. people out there that are
weird.
Probably thinking...
It could be weird. Why? It's like, what?
Right. But, you know, like we said at the beginning of the show, our goal was to provide a unique show, mm-hmm. unique Catholic show that is not on air right now.
Yeah.
And
I think that we're doing that.
And then you can definitely check those boxes.
Right. So, but we are drinking because... Not just for the sake of drinking. We're drinking to enjoy one of the finer things in life. Us as men, we drink for a very similar reason why someone who's into art goes to look at an art gallery. Because this is a thing of quality that they enjoy. It's a medium that you can express yourself, and there are good and there are bad art. And just like art, good and bad whiskeys are often up to you, the partaker. We only are drinking good whiskeys on this show because it wouldn't make sense to drink a bad whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But for you as the consumer, you should drink whatever you enjoy, because that's really what this is about. It's about enjoying one of the finer things of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we're drinking in moderation. And it should also be noted that we live across the street from each other, and we're in your studio upstairs
mm-hmm.
currently. So I'm just going to walk across the street to go home. So there's no driving involved, but not everyone can drink. If you're one of those people who have come to the realization in your life that it's best not to drink, then we applaud you for doing so. Modesty means something a little different to everyone when it comes to the realm of drinking, and it's just important to know thyself, which
That's right.
is an important aspect of manliness.
Absolutely.
So we drink because whiskey is fine.
That was a good analogy, though, with the art. I don't think I've ever heard that. Did you just make that up?
It occurred to me driving today, this morning.
That's a good analogy.
It's actually this afternoon on my way to Whiskey Business.
Nice.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Thanks.
Good
Cheers.
Job. Cheers.
To Jesus.
To Jesus.
Mm.
So if you're a guy who likes peated whiskey, if you're a guy who enjoys a little bit of smoke, a little bit of bite,
yeah.
this is a good whiskey for you.
Right. Yeah. So typically it's more seasoned whiskey drinkers, someone who has been around the block a little bit and is ready to move on beyond the just smooth whiskey. You know, if you're looking for a little more complexity, this is a really good one. I forget the exact price, but it was in the $60 range at Whiskey Business,
mm-hmm.
Which is, it's $72 when we looked it up online, so that seems like a pretty good price. And those guys there, they know their stuff when it comes to whiskey, so give them a visit.
Like we said, this is a little bit different show. This is going to be a very unique show because we had a company come out and decide to help us. If you own a company and like the Catholic Man Show, we're always in the...
Give us stuff.
Like, we need to promote some stuff.
We'll take your free stuff.
Yep. And so we have Beef Jerky Outlet from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
What guy doesn't like beef jerky?
And that's why I said, like, listen, this fits the demographic.
Please.
What man doesn't like beef jerky? So...
Are there any selfish motives when you went into that store, like, hey... I like beef jerky. You should give Adam. But we're giving it away to the listener.
I'm not saying anything. We're giving it away to the listener.
We're giving away way more than,
That's
than
right.
we're eating ourselves. But
we are enjoying it. So the one that we're trying, we actually have a couple that we're giving away. But the one we're trying that they allowed us to try is called Smoky Mountain Beef Jerky Old Smoky.
Mm.
Which... I mean,
goes great with this whiskey.
Absolutely, it's like it's a pair. So it's really good. It's a really good beef jerky. And let me tell you, the beef jerky outlet.
They're on Main Street, downtown Broken Arrow. Is that right?
No.
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 Are they close to
there? They're by the Bass Pro Shop.
Oh, that's right, the Bass Pro Shop.
Yes, and their website is brokenarrow.com. beefjerkyoutlet.com.
Brokenarrow.beefjerkyoutlet.com.
Right, and they have a ton of stuff there. I mean, if you...
You think they have 100 flavors?
Probably. Yeah, probably. Close. I mean, close to that. And they'll let you try it. So we highly recommend going over there, checking them out. But this beef jerky is really good. It's a really good beef jerky. So check them out and let them know that you heard them from the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah. And if you've ever tried to make beef jerky yourself, you'll know that this is a very difficult thing to do, to get the juicy, to dry, to dehydration. I don't know, is that what you'd call it? But it's tough. It seems like it goes from like soggy meat to dried banana peel in about 20 seconds after it's been there for 6 hours. You got to dehydrate it forever. And then all of a sudden, it's just dry. Like dry bones in the Bible. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's biblically dry.
Okay, so.
When we get back, though, we're going to give it away.
Yeah.
We're giving some of this away, because this stuff is not dry.
It's really good.
Biblically, it's delicious.
So when we get back, we will break into the man...
Item that
we have an announcement about.
Revealed yet.
Right, and the man topic. And so you're listening to Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. Stick around.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
We're going to make that a thing. We're making it a thing.
Yep. We just decided over the break.
Cheers to Jesus.
That's just
something. That could be a hashtag, right?
Yeah.
Hashtag cheers. Us. Cheers to Jesus.
Yes, we'd like to see that.
All right.
Do it now.
So... Right before the break, we were talking about how we're giving away some beef jerky.
That's right.
So we mentioned this earlier. We were calling you guys out, asking for we were really begging for your help on a better thing to call the man item.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually got some good feedback from you guys. Mm-hmm. And we picked up on a theme that you were all throwing down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the idea of man gear.
That's right.
We got some...
Which I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, gear, because... That's items. It's also like a couple weeks ago we did the suit.
Mm-hmm.
Gear is something, is stuff you wear, stuff you have.
Right.
Gear is an all-encompassing word. So that is that's the new title.
Yes.
No longer man items. Forget man items.
Yeah.
We've got man
gear.
We've got man gear. And we had one of our buddies suggest on Facebook mandatory gear.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like too. But
yeah, Juan Posada.
Way to go, Juan!
Yep, our buddy Juan,
who is a
listener,
devout listener,
devout listener.
If he's around us and we talk about the show, he gets mad.
Yeah.
He's like, "Don't you spoil it for me!"
That's right. But we also had another listener,
Andrew DeJoseph.
Yeah, and I think Andrew may actually live up in the Northeast region.
Yeah, like New. He's from Jersey or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I think he's from Jersey. But Andrew DeJoseph.
You're the man.
Brother, we appreciate you coming out and giving us the idea of man gear of the week.
You can't see it, but I'm fist pumping
He's
right
fist
now.
He's fist pumping. So, Dave, tell Andrew what he won.
Andrew, come on down. You are the proud new winner of Beef Jerky Outlet here in Broken Arrow, Chop House Style Prime Rib Beef Jerky.
So, Andrew, if you do actually live in Jersey...
We're pretty sure you do.
Yeah. Based on your...
Seems like it.
Yeah, based on your profile.
If you don't, tell us where you live.
Yeah, so we're going to send it to you. So we thank you.
So send us a note with your address, your birthday, social security number, and eye color.
Don't worry, Andrew. I'll reach out to you.
We'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Beef jerky.
So...
But seriously, we will send it to you.
Yeah, we're going to send it to you. We thank you for... Broken
Arrow. He's a dedicated listener.
Yeah, and we thank Broken Arrow Beef Jerky Outlet for...
He also likes almost everything we post on Facebook.
Yeah, which I'm a huge fan.
Which I do too. Personally, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
That's why we post it.
Yep. So I'm a big fan. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew DeJoseph. So now that we...
What a sweet last name.
Yeah, I like it.
I have to say that.
DeJoseph.
DeJoseph.
So without further ado, Dave, the man gear of the week is...
The LED flashlight.
The flashlight. Which some may think, why? Why flashlight?
I think only women are thinking, why flashlight? I think guys get it like, heck yeah, flashlight. Especially the LED ones. Those things are sweet.
Yeah, those are. They are really cool.
I mean, like, I used to think mag lights are cool. And they are. I've got a mag light. You can knock someone out with it. It's like a weapon if you need it to be. But, like, they've got these new LED flashlights that are so bright.
Yes.
I mean, they have warnings on the side that are serious. If you shine this in someone's eyes, you can seriously damage them. And that's not why they're cool. It's just that they're so bright. And really not that expensive. I mean, they've got LED flashlights now that put out something like 10,000 lumens. And I don't know how to explain to you how bright that is.
It's super bright.
It's like half of the sun or something. But the LEDs, you know, they use almost no battery. So they last forever.
Yeah, the technology on flashlights have just upped their game.
And they have some tactical ones that are sturdy with, like, rough edges that you could use to, like, you know, if you're under attack, you know, they tell women to, like, rake their fingernails across their attacker to get a DNA sample. It's kind of similar things.
So Dave, tell us why the flashlight is the man gear of the week.
Well, it's the man gear of the week because it's a manly thing. But it also fits in with our topic that we're going to be getting at, too.
There's the segue I was looking for.
Yeah, I sensed that.
Mm-hmm.
The topic for today is apologetics.
Which I'm a huge fan.
Me too. I feel like, not that it's exclusively manly, but I feel like apologetics, there's a manly element to it.
Absolutely,
you know,
yes.
Having the answers. It's a manly topic.
That's why this is going to be a jam-packed.
Oh yeah,
Catholic
no,
show.
It totally is, and we're not even done. And we got some big giveaways next week too.
Yes,
there's a book written by a priest here in the diocese.
Well,
that we're going to talk about.
He
well,
helped.
Okay,
he's
major
not the other.
Major contributor.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to be giving that away
next episode.
So yeah. You just have to
tune
wait
into the next
bated
episode.
Breath. Yeah. So anyway, apologetics. The reason it's fits into the flashlight is because the more you know about your faith, the more it's able to light your path. You know, as you're walking the walk, the day-to-day stuff, the more of the answers you have to these deeper questions of the faith, you know, why Catholic, then the deeper your relationship gets with the Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
And the deeper that relationship is, the better your walk, the clearer your path, the easier it is for you to discern things. You know, you don't...
Because you're not on your will, you're on God's will.
Right. You don't struggle with the smaller details.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can kind of stay focused a little bit more. You don't get distracted by the things that are going on around you when you have a solid base on who God is, why did he make you, you know, did he establish a church?
Right.
You know, who should you be listening to? You don't get confused.
Right.
So that is why apologetics is like a flashlight. And so the more you have that light of Christ in you, the more you can be that light on the shining light on a hill, like it talks about, that we're all of us Christians are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So there really is some deep connections between a flashlight and apologetics.
Yes.
And LED flashlights are just sweet.
Yes, absolutely. And our buddy Sean Wyatt... He has a company that does flashlights.
Yeah, he'll sell you a flashlight if you want a flashlight.
So look up Sean Wyatt, and I think it's flashlights.com.
Yes, I think that's correct.
So check him out as well. In fact, I may try to get him to give a discount for Catholic Man Show listeners.
Yeah, we didn't ask him about that, but
before.
Sean, come on.
We're guilt. This is what you call Catholic guilt.
Yeah, this is on the air. No pressure.
Okay, so because we have so much to go over, Dave, let's go ahead and cut this segment short.
Let's take an early break.
Let's take an early
Man
break.
Man show first.
Yeah, early break, and that way we can come back and really dive into our topic.
Okay.
So you're listening to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. Stick around because this next segment is going to be awesome.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan with my bud Dave, and this is the third segment of the Catholic Man Show, episode 4. And we just finished a little sip of Buna Haben, talked a little bit about the man gear of the week, which is the flashlight, and we introduced the topic, which
is apologetics. Yeah, so before we get started on some of the apologetics topics, I think it's important to ask the question, what is apologetics? What does that word mean? Because it kind of sounds like we're saying we're sorry for something.
Which we're not at all. Apologetics stems from the word apologia, which is Greek for the defense. So apologetics here is the defense of the church.
Yeah, the faith. Yeah.
The faith. So, and the reason why...
Because we're doing Catholic apologetics. You can have apologetics for anything, but
right.
This is
Catholic apologetics. Because
yeah.
This is the Catholic Man Show.
That's right.
And so you ask, well, why is apologetics important? Apologetics is important because Christ came down incarnate to this world to start a church. And it is our job...
And to die for our sins.
To die for our sins. But it's our job to know what he preached. And there's a lot of misconceptions about the Catholic faith. And as the laity of the church, it is our job to know exactly what the church teaches so that way we can clear up any misconceptions and help evangelize everybody.
Right.
So, you know, Christ prayed that we would all be one because he founded a church, and the church is the pillar and bulwark of truth. And so if he prayed that we'd all be one, we'd all be in one church that he founded. And so my answer is to why be Catholic and why study it? It's because you love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you're going to love his church that he started. And it's clear through history that the Catholic Church is the church that Christ founded.
Right.
On the Apostle Peter.
Yeah, and so many apologetics things, you know, and when we talk about apologetics, it's often from the standpoint of what other people think about the church, the misconceptions. So for us here in Oklahoma, it's, well, Protestants will say this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a large part of the things we talk about. So a lot of the things that people who are outside of the church will say, like, oh, you know, this is a new doctrine that came along, like the perpetual virginity of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, that wasn't defined until like the 1900s. Well, and there's a lot of stuff like that that, oh, that wasn't even defined for hundreds and hundreds of years. But the reason that happens is because those things were believed by everybody.
Right.
And it wasn't until there was a challenge to this particular teaching that it needed to be defined. And so often the church has held beliefs the whole time. And then it's not until someone comes along and says, I'm not sure that's true, that the church says, okay, this needs to be infallibly defined.
And Christ gave authority to the apostles because he knew that the church had to stay in unity, so there had to be an authoritative decision maker.
Right.
So he developed the hierarchy of the church so that way we would never fail, because he said and he promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church.
Right. Yeah.
So.
And I believe him.
Yeah. And so you have to take his word.
Either you believe him and you join the Catholic Church, or you think that, well, he must have just been wrong about that, and, you know, you stay in whatever church you're in, because there's thousands and thousands of Christian denominations now, but there's only been one church from the very beginning, and that's the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's founded on Peter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The apostle.
On the authority of Christ, yeah.
Yeah. Christ said in Matthew 16:18, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Right. And so a lot of Protestants will come back and say, oh, well, what he was really talking about, because right before that, Peter says, Jesus is asking the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter says that you're the Messiah. And, you know, he professes this faith. And so Protestants will often argue that, oh, well, Jesus is referring to the rock of Peter's faith, not Peter himself, because there's this little misconception about, in Greek, the word for rock is a feminine word.
But Petros.
Petros is masculine. But he uses also the word Petra,
mm-hmm.
which is the feminine, which means large rock. Petros can sometimes be translated meaning small rock. And he says to Peter, you are Petros, you are rock. And on this Petra, I will build my church. And so they'll say, oh, see, he's not really talking about Peter. And it should be pointed out that first, Jesus wasn't speaking Greek. He was speaking Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually said, you are Kepha. And on this Kepha, I will build my church. Kepha means big rock. There's another word for little rock.
Right, which is lithos.
Lithos. Yeah, I think so.
Lithos. But regardless, even if you're not, you don't even have to get to that point, it can't be on Peter's faith because Peter denied Christ 3 times.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, and I'm not going to say Peter didn't have good faith, but it wasn't a perfect faith.
Right. It was definitely a shaky faith at one point.
Mm-hmm. But it's further discredited by, it's just the way you would speak in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Peter is a man, and you would have never used a feminine form of the noun to describe him.
You wouldn't
him.
Call him Patricia.
Right, exactly. So the reason Jesus says you are Petros, male, which sometimes it means small rock, is because Peter's a man.
That's right.
So it has nothing to do with small rock, big rock. He tells Peter, you are the rock,
mm-hmm.
and on you, this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the church will be preserved from error. Otherwise, the gates of hell are prevailing.
Right.
How can there ever be an error in the church Jesus established? That's not possible.
Right. And I think in Luke 10, maybe verse 6, he says, those who hear you, hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And those who reject you, reject me.
Right. Everything that the Father has given me, I give to you.
Right.
Give to the apostles. So they had the authority.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say that the church is infallible, it's not that, oh, all the people in it are infallible, or everything that people of the church have done. It's not that, oh, they've never done anything bad. There have been some pretty, you know, bad guys in the church's history. What it means is that the teachings of the church are preserved from error.
That's right.
So,
And also, I mean, you don't even have to take our word for it. I mean, you know, if you go back into history, you look at the early church fathers, you know, you have Origen, St. Cyprian, St. Eusebius, St. Cyril of Jerusalem, all are, and many, many, many more, who are all referring to Peter as the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, there's a line that we can trace back from, you know, all the way from Pope Francis today, all the way back to St. Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the Council of Jerusalem, in the Book of Acts, chapter 15, I believe, they are trying to decide, you know, how are we going to deal with bringing the Gentiles into the church? And they're debating. And then as soon as Peter speaks and says, this is what we're going to do, the debate's over.
Right.
I mean, so there's an example in the Bible of Peter exercising his authority as the first pope.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into apologetics, it's becomes obvious that every topic, no matter what it is, eventually it all comes back to authority.
That's right.
Where does the authority rest? For us as Catholics, we know it rests in the church. We have a three-legged stool, so to speak, of authority. We have the Pope. We have the sacred tradition, big T tradition, and then we have the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible has authority because it's the Word of God. But how do we know it's the Word of God? This is a big question Protestants can't answer.
Right, because the table of contents is not inspired Scripture.
Right, yeah, exactly. So we know it's the Word of God because the church has told us.
Mm-hmm.
They said so. There were a lot of other things that were written by good, holy people back there, and not everything made it in the book.
That's right.
In fact, there was a lot of debate over, well, what is authoritative, what's canon, what isn't. And so the church had to come together, and under the authority vested in her by Jesus Christ through the apostles, they were able to decide and determine mm-hmm. what books were really belonged in the Bible and what didn't. So
right. Why is Hermes not in the Bible?
Yeah, the Shepherd of Hermes was the name of the book.
Right.
And
I mean, it's a good.
It's a good book. In mm-hmm. fact, it's it has no error in it. It adheres to church teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just decided that it wasn't.
Yeah. Why is the Didache not in there? Why is yeah? I mean, right. There's a lot of really good writings.
Very Catholic, very Christian stuff.
Clement of Rome. Like, why is the letter of Clement to Rome not in there? I mean, you can go back and forth and say, well, why is this book in and why is this book out?
Yeah. And it's because the church decided.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Catholic Church who, you could say, invented the Bible. I don't, invented's not the right word, but without
compiled,
the,
with, compiled.
Yeah. Without the Catholic Church, there would be no Bible.
Right, because you have to ask, which came first, the Bible or the church?
Right, the church.
Right, because the sacred teachings, you know, we have traditions and we have the, you know, the Bible, but the Bible came out of the sacred teachings.
Mm-hmm. And really, if you want to get down to it, the church existed a long time ago. It's just the fulfillment of the Jewish church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Catholic Church looks a lot like the Jewish church. There was a hierarchy, there's priests, there's authority, which is meant to be a representation of God's authority here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just the way it's always been. It's clearly been God's plan from the beginning mm-hmm. to set it up that way.
Right. And you know, let's talk just briefly about the deuterocanonical books, because that's a big difference. I mean, that's a big difference between Catholics and Protestants. Why is it that we have the 73 books, the Protestants have the 66 books?
Okay, so they threw out some Old Testament books.
Martin Luther did.
He's the one who started it. Protestants will say, oh, you Catholics, you added books to the Bible. That's mm-hmm. not true. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until they, up through the first 1,500 years of Christianity, these were the books of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody accepted it. It wasn't until Luther came along and nuanced, he had all these nuanced ideas that had never been taught before that went against the Christian teachings.
Right.
And he came across these books, and the bottom line is they didn't agree with the way he
was
saw
teaching.
It.
Right, because he even took out, like, you know, Jude, Revelation, 2nd and 3rd John.
He took out 2nd Peter.
Yeah, he took out a lot of books in the
James,
New
James. He took out the
Book of definitely James. Yeah. But and he got so much backlash that he actually put it back in. In fact, the first Bible that he translated into German had all 73 books.
Yeah, the original King James Version. You can go see it. It's in England.
Mm-hmm.
It's got all the books in it. In fact, then later in Germany, you can go see the books or the Bibles he was publishing that didn't have like 7 books from the New Testament. And mm-hmm. there was so much backlash that he was taking out New Testament books that he had to put it back in there.
Right.
So it's like, well, Luther, did you or do you not think those are books of the Bible? Because you took them out. And now, because you're getting pressured from men, you're mm-hmm. putting them back in the Bible. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Either
right.
you think they are or they are not Scripture. And if you think they're not Scripture, you better come up with a really good reason, because for 1,500 years they have been.
Right. And you know, throughout church history, you know, the apostles, all the church fathers, you know, the apostles were talking about when they were referring back to the Old Testament, 360 times they referred back to the Old Testament in the New Testament books.
Right, yeah.
And out of those 360, 300 of them had the Septuagint. It was from the Septuagint.
Right, which was the most updated Old Testament.
You know,
it wasn't the Old Testament back then. It was just the Bible, the Jewish Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom books.
What is that, like 83%? Something like that?
Yeah, it's a lot.
83% of the time.
The vast majority, Jesus quotes from the Septuagint, which includes the deuterocanonical books. Mm-hmm. And so,
also, the Protestants will refer to it as the Apocrypha books.
Right, yeah. So, that is a brief rundown on the difference of the Bible, or the different canons,
mm-hmm.
authority. If you have any other questions about that, just post it on our Facebook page. We're happy to talk about it.
Yeah, because
some more.
We're actually going to post a question on Facebook for a winning of some of the beef jerky.
Yeah, but so, you're going to have to keep listening to
right.
hear the question.
Absolutely. So let's take a break, because the last part, we got to touch on Mary, because this is the month of May. This is that's always a hang-up for part of it. Yeah. Yes. So we'll talk a little bit more about Mary and the book that we're giving away next episode, and the question.
All right. Enjoy these handcrafted candles.
Yeah, because we make them.
We made these for love.
Absolutely.
But you're listening to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, which is the winning side.
So raise your glass.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm here with Adam Minahan, my partner in Christ. And we're having a good time. We're talking about apologetics. We've got
I could talk about this all day long.
Yeah.
They wouldn't want
and love it.
They wouldn't want to listen to it, but I definitely could talk about it.
I might repeat myself once. But I want to talk to you about Mary, because especially in this part of the country, Mary is a big issue for a lot of people, even people who are coming into the church who say, you know what, I believe it, I understand, the church is clearly set up by Christ, has authority, and I understand that the church teaches these things about Mary, and they must be true, but I'm having a hard time just accepting it, you know, they've accepted it, but it's like,
Like it's always the last stumbling block for all converts.
I think you're right, or at least almost always. Mm-hmm. So, Mary, I just can't, it's like, oh, she is so important.
Mm-hmm.
She's so important to have in your life. I read a book by St. Louis de Montfort, you read it too,
mm-hmm.
Which is all about doing a total consecration of your life to Mary, giving everything about your life over to her, so that she might bring you to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's called true devotion.
Yeah, the true devotion. That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah. So a lot of people think, why would you put Mary in between you and Christ? You know, just go directly to Christ.
Right. Because the Bible says there's only one mediator between God
and
man.
It's the man, Christ Jesus.
Right.
And we say amen.
Right.
We say amen to that. Jesus is the only mediator between us and the Father. I've heard it said that when the Father looks at us, he does so through the wounds of Christ, which is a mercy that he has. But Mary is a mediator between us and Jesus. And we are all mediators for one another. It's very common. Protestants, you know, when something's wrong, they too will go up to one another and say, hey, will you pray for me? Well, all you're doing when you do that is you're making that person a mediator between you and God. It's like, you're asking them to pray for you. And when we pray to Mary, we're asking her to do the same thing for us.
Right, because Mary is never the end. You know, it's not like they're up in heaven and Jesus and Mary is up in heaven and Jesus is like, haha, I have, you know, 10,000 prayers. You only had 8,000 prayers. You know,
yeah,
it's not like
that.
It's not a competition. It's not like that they're up there, you know, worried about that. It's not like that you're going to be taking away from Jesus to give to Mary. That's not how it
right,
works.
Yeah. And the Bible tells us that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary is the most righteous person to ever walk the planet aside from her son, Jesus Christ. But the reason she's so righteous is because she was sinless.
Mm-hmm.
She was sinless. She was perfect. She and her son were the only two perfect people to ever be born.
Mm-hmm.
We know that she's sinless for a couple reasons. I think the most important one is because she's the Ark of the Covenant. In the Old Testament, you've got the Ark.
Get ready, buckle
this
up.
This is typography, yeah.
Scott Hahn talks about the, I mean, well, St. Augustine. But
tons of people talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go through the whole Old Testament, there is no greater symbol than the Ark of the Covenant. It was this mysterious thing that God commanded to be created. And it had to be made of pure gold. Inside of the Ark were three very important things. There were the tablets, the Old Testament. They represent the Word. There was Aaron's staff, which represents the preaching authority, the priestly line. And then there was the manna, which is a foreshadowing of
the
Eucharist.
Right.
So here in the Old Testament Ark, there are three types of Christ. Okay, and because it held types of Christ, it had to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You couldn't even touch it.
Right.
Or you died.
Right.
There's a guy named Uzzah.
Yeah. Oh, like, poor Uzzah.
I don't know, Mom. I don't know what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Pick a different name. But he just seems like a pretty good guy, though.
Right.
You know, he's one of the dudes charged with carrying the Ark. He's got these sticks. He's carrying it. Well, it's one time it's going to fall, and he's like, oh, no, the Ark. And so he puts his hand out to steady it so it doesn't fall on the ground, and God kills him because he touched the Ark.
Right.
And the scholars agree the reason why Uzzah died is because of his sins.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of his sinfulness. He wasn't worthy to touch the Ark.
Right. And what was the Ark made of? It was 100% pure gold.
Right. It had to be.
I mean, it was pure because it's holding types of Christ.
Right. And so Mary is the new Ark. You know, there's a principle in typography that the new covenant version of something is always greater than the Old Testament version. Adam is the, or Jesus is the new Adam. He's mm-hmm. obviously greater than the old Adam.
Right.
Mary is the new Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Her yes to the angel, yes to God, undid the no of Eve in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the new ark. The ark in the Old Testament held these types of Christ. In her was Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So how much more pure did she need to be in order to fulfill that role? So Mary needed a savior. She herself mm-hmm. says so. But she was saved in advance by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And God talks about this in the garden right after the fall. He tells the snake, I will put enmity between you and the woman,
right.
between your seed.
And what does that mean,
seed.
Dave? Because
it means like the opposite of it's like this huge, vast, it's like a big distance you could never cross.
Right.
You know?
And so if Mary was a sinner, then she would not be of enmity between the devil. Because
right.
when you sin, what happens?
You become a slave of Satan.
Of Satan. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So God said that he would put enmity between the woman mm-hmm. and the devil.
Right.
And it's not, we're not talking about Eve, because Eve has already fallen.
So another reason we know that she's the ark is because when she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, she walks in, and with just her hello, at the sound of her greeting, all heaven breaks loose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the baby, John the Baptist, leaps in Elizabeth's womb. And then Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit and quotes Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
She says, who am I that the mother of my Lord would come unto me?
Mm-hmm.
And people don't, I didn't know this until I learned it,
mm-hmm.
but she's quoting the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 7, when David is before the ark. He's dancing before the ark, and he says, who am I that the ark of my Lord should come unto me? So she is quoting a scripture about the ark because of Mary.
Right.
When she's filled with the Holy Spirit, obviously mm-hmm. she knows what she's talking about right here.
Right.
Mary is the ark.
Mm-hmm.
And God chose her as the perfect way to come to us, the perfect route of our salvation.
And it was through Mary's free will of saying yes
right.
that was able to happen.
Exactly. So Mary is the ark. She is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just like, we can't even get into all of the ways she benefits you. One of my favorite lines from the True Devotion, that book, is that because Mary is the spouse of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
the more Mary lives in your heart, the more the Holy Spirit will give birth to Christ in your heart. And, I mean, that is a truth to ponder. Think about that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And
that book is full of quotes.
It's just so rich.
I mean, my other favorite quote, I mean, there's a lot of them, but in that book it is, God gathered all the seas together, all the waters together, and called it the sea. God gathered all the graces together and called it Mary.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I do remember that quote.
Oh, I
yeah,
love
that's good.
That quote.
So anyway, I recommend that book.
Yeah.
True Devotion
by
St.
Louis
de Montfort. If you have any other questions about Mary, hit us up on Facebook, because
mm-hmm.
we want to talk about these things with you guys. I mean, if this is something you're struggling with, let us know. We're mm-hmm. happy to talk about it more one-on-one, more in-depth, where we can get into it.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing is the saints. And like praying to Mary, praying to the saints, these are very related issues.
Mm-hmm.
We pray to the saints. We kind of touched on it, because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Who mm-hmm. is more righteous than those who are made perfect in heaven? So their prayers obviously are going to be very effective.
Dave, is God a God of the living or God of the dead?
He's the God of the living.
And
I'm pretty sure that's correct.
I'm
yeah.
pretty sure that's correct.
Mm-hmm. I have it on good authority.
Mm-hmm. Based on the church.
Yeah. And the word of God.
So God is the God of the living.
Right.
And so when you die, and we all go to heaven, if you're in a state of grace, your prayer is much more righteous. And so all we're doing is we're asking for righteous people
to pray for us.
To pray for us.
Yeah.
Who's in front of the presence of the beatific vision.
Right. And I hope they do pray for us. Pray for me, saints.
Yes.
I mean, pray for Adam, too. Like, man, he needs your prayers.
Yes, always.
Just everybody, in fact. Just pray for him. So anyway, like I said, hit us up on Facebook. We want to talk to you about this if you have other questions. I want to tell you a little bit about a book we're giving away.
I'm super pumped.
On the next episode. This book, is so perfect for the man show. Yes. I can't even believe it. It's called Drinking with the Saints, The Sinner's Guide to a Holy Happy Hour by Michael P. Foley. And it was contributed in large part by Father John Grant of our diocese.
Mm-hmm. Associate pastor at Holy Family.
This book is so sweet. We bought one for ourselves. It breaks it down like, oh, here's good beverages that go along with all of the months. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's beverages for each of the liturgical seasons of the church. Mm-hmm. Here's beverages for all of the solemnities. Mm-hmm. Like, and they all go along with specific saints. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's super awesome.
And they've got recipes.
Yeah, so
learn about saints. We're going to be giving one of these books away next episode.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Thank you, Father John, for hooking us up.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But right now, we got to give something else away. We got to give away some beef jerky.
Right.
We are giving away...
as we make a ton of noise.
The cherry maple smoked beef. Cherry maple, guys. Mm-hmm. This looks so awesome. It took all of our willpower not to open it.
Yes.
The first person to answer this question on our Facebook page, we're giving you this beef jerky. If you go into the Broken Arrow outlet, you'll also get a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so, they're giving us a t-shirt away as well. So,
here's the question. The first person to name it on our Facebook gets it. Name all of the deuterocanonical books mm-hmm. of the Bible, and you win.
Yep.
That easy.
That easy.
Boom.
So, thank you so much to the Beef Jerky Outlet of Broken Arrow, brokenarrow.beefjerkyoutlet.com.
Thank you to Juan Posada.
Yes.
And Andrew DeJoseph.
Yes, for hooking us up with the new man gear.
Yeah. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, and we had a great time. Our whiskey was the Buna Haben. Our man gear was a flashlight. And our
light up your world with some apologetics.
Yep, that's because that was our topic. So, like our Facebook page, The Catholic Man Show. We're on Twitter, and let us know. Tell us what the apocryphal book or the Deuterocanonical books are.
Yes, and also if you need some whiskey. Check out Whiskey Business downtown, because they're giving us a discount, and yep. they're helping us out, so help them out.
So, this has been a sweet show. We may even pick up next episode with some more apologetics.
We may have to.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Let us know if there is an apologetics question that you've had that we can answer for you on our Facebook page.
This has been The Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
So raise your glass.